Who can I talk to?
Can anyone relate to what I'm going through?
Who else understands what it's like to have cancer?
Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer with people you know. You just want to talk with someone who knows how you feel. Open 24/7, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is a safe space to connect with people who understand what it's like to have cancer. It's free to use and anonymous. From day one, whatever you need to get off your chest, community members are available day and night to offer support on the online forum. Talk openly and honestly with people who've been there too. You're not in this alone. We're here to help. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode.
So then the other women are gathering, and Alexis and Emily and all those. And Alexis is just, it's been really rough, guys. So let's go make some biscuits. And Tamara's like, I can't stop shitting. I just can't stop shitting, guys. Well, great.
It's great to know. Let's go. Go stick your hands into some dough. And so listen, dough is on the brat diet. Okay, you know what's having a brat summer? The brat diet. Okay.
What's a brat? There's a brat diet. First of all, brat summer's over. I saw Charlie Wetzerbuns right on the Twitter.
Bye, brat summer.
Wow, brat summer.
You were like,
brat summer's over.
You were amazing.
I think. I mean, summer's over.
Wow, that's sad. The brat diet precedes brat summer. Brat diet is what you do when you are shitting your brains out. B stands for bananas. R stands for rice. A stands for applesauce, and T stands for
Tamra Bonnie, bitch.
I don't remember what T stands for.
It's Tamra, bitch.
That's a real thing, the
toast.
Brat diet?
T stands for toast. Yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh, I thought you were like showing Riz right
no,
now.
No, I don't have Riz like that. Brat diet is like an actual thing. It's what you're supposed to eat. I don't know if it actually works. I seem to remember looking up saying that it may just be anecdotal, but... Brat diet. So she should be on the brat.
I feel like that's like a Chicago thing where it's like, it's the brat diet.
Yeah,
you know, we just diet. Eat a lot of bratwurst.
So, the women basically just go to a place called Picnic, and it's just across the street. So they go in, and the owner is there. Her name is Mags. She's like, hi, I'm Mags. Come on, and I'll set you up. So they put on aprons, and they get to work. They're working out.
Mags, can I just tell you, Mags was born to biscuit class.
I love her.
I mean, she was just born to do this. Mags, like, had, like, the full-on do-rag in her hair. And she was like, guys... Who's ready for some biscuits? Am I right? Get in here. It's me, Mags.
You know she loves to teach a good after-school class to teenagers. She's like Mags's biscuit camp. You know, she's just teaching the whole community.
Kid, what are you doing here again? You're already great at making biscuits. Mags, I just needed a little Mags time. Get in here.
So meanwhile, the other group are in the forest, and they are greeted by a woman named Jenny, who I'm pretty sure is also Mags, just in a hat. like
Jenny's really made for her job too. She's like, guys, I'm Jenny and I teach yoga in the parks of Sonoma. So
so then they're sitting there, and Heather's like, the number one thing for Shannon is that she needs to protect her well-being. And like, oh, Jenny's like, okay, yeah, all right, well, guys, I don't know who this Shannon person is, but have you guys heard of forests? Okay, because we're about to do some forest bathing. Has anyone forest bathed before? It means that you take a bath in the forest, but without any water, you just lie there.
The fuck is forest bathing? Give me a fucking break with that. Also, I have to take umbrage with something Heather said. She said, the number one thing is that Shannon protect her well-being. Shannon doesn't have well-being. Have you ever seen this show? I've never seen Shannon have any kind of well-being.
That is a fair
There's
point.
There's never been a season of Shannon having well-being. There's nothing to protect there, okay? We're just trying not to get her institutionalized at this point, okay? Don't try to protect any kind of well-being.
So the whole point is that you lie there on a blanket and you listen to the forest. And so then back in cooking class, they're making more biscuits, and Gina's saying, like, this is how I make my meatballs. I mean, you know, after I defrost them from the package.
I was going to say, you've never made a meatball. So then, Alexis is,
by the way, okay, she's like, so, you know, guys, this is, like, really fun, and I just want to say I feel really bad for the position that you guys are in. Like, I'm willing to move forward and to try to find a way to exist with that bitch who ruined Johnny J's life.
And Emily's like, yeah, it's difficult to navigate, which is a coincidence because it's the same words that Heather Dubrow keeps saying.
It is. I'm not even in this scene, but let me tell you something. It's difficult to navigate.
It's so difficult to navigate.
And we see a flashback to when Emily and Alexis were talking the night before. And Alexis is saying, you know, Emily is like, I mean, your intent just to destroy this woman? No, if that were my intent, Emily, it would have been done a long time ago. So now they're giving Alexis props for being mature and realizing things need to change with Shannon. Like, she gets props for having the most basic human consideration,
which she hasn't even shown yet. All she did was stay home one night.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, she's grown so much.
And Gina's like, yeah, Alexis let it go down a little bit. I think we made some progress here, so I'll take it. You know what? It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Marathon.
Carol Radziwill just sort of droops into the frame. So Alexis is like, you know, it shouldn't be brought around you guys.
Well, you know what? I'm asking you to not assume that, because, like, when you're trying to support Shannon, don't assume that because we're trying to support Shannon that we're, like, against you, because I'm not. And if you feel that way, then you know what? I feel bad.
So then we cut back to the forest, and Shannon shows up like the little girl from The Ring. She's just like,
hi, it's me, Fun Shannon. I don't have a hairbrush.
I don't have a hairbrush.
Is my face on?
Oh, it's okay, Shannon. Here's a pine cone you can use.
So they all start the process, and Jenny is leading them through this sort of guided meditation and everything. And
so I'm going to guide us through some sensory awareness practice. And when thoughts creep in, simply note it.
Shannon?
Sorry, that was that was difficult. From last night.
Meditation.
Sorry, go ahead. Let's meditate.
Meditation is hard for me because my mind is always working.
And we see, like, footage of, like, Alexis Bledel terrorizing her. Like, there's the door, Shannon Bedore.
And she is just, it's so funny because they're putting all these, like, little.
Shannon, well, her head keeps darting.
Made me laugh so hard.
Every time her head darts in the direction, they just put a little bubble up of Alexis Bledel.
That was so funny. They just put these little bubbles of Alexis's face, and Shannon just happens to be looking all around the forest. That was some funny shit.
So back to the cooking class, Emily's like, well, you've been friends with Shannon for years, Tamara. I feel like you're unable to see any compassion towards her. And she's like,
yeah, because I can't let this go on in my life anymore. Do you know it kills me to sit there and watch her order drinks after all the things she did to me when she was drunk, which is nothing.
Literally nothing. She called you too much. Oh my God. Stop answering the phone.
Yeah, Jesus, that's your
Christ. Learn some boundaries. So then Gina's like, I mean, you know what? What I don't get is you trying to set a boundary for everybody else. Cause, like, I got my own shit that I got to dealt with.
And, like, part of the reason I don't drink anymore is cause I looked at Shannon and she's 20 years ahead of me. And I looked at what that looked like. And I didn't like that. All right. So,
you know what?
Yeah.
Like, wow. So I'm being supportive of her. Yeah. That's really supportive. You're like, look at Shannon. She's just an old, disgusting, tired, sloppy mess that I never
wanted to become. Shannon Bedore. And she was like just this pathetic pile of sadness dating a rumpled old man who treated her badly. It looks sort of like Al Gore and sort of like that eagle from the Muppets. Oh, sorry, Alexis. It's like part of, like, the sadness of Shannon is basically what Alexis is attached to.
Yeah. So then Alexis is like, everybody in this group just needs to butt out and let everybody be friends with everybody. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And then Emily's like, oh, can I just say something? And then Mags goes, hey guys, Mags here. Did the biscuit making help you guys come together?
I don't need any help with that with Johnny J, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, thanks. I'm going to close down my biscuit business because I'm disgusted.
This is the first time that I've had a group in here that didn't immediately get magged. So,
meanwhile, we go back to the forest bathers and the meditation continues on and Jen is loving this moment and they're talking about they're all talking about how it's just beautiful and you hear the sounds of the forest and it's bucolic and the trees and the honeysuckle.
Sorry.
It's just Shannon hacking up a lung while they're trying to meditate. While Jen is trying to get the smell of the honeysuckle. Does honeysuckle grow in a forest, by the way?
I don't know. And I don't understand forests. So Heather's like, oh my God, the coughing. I thought this was supposed to be serene and relaxing. Ooh.
Well, I don't know if those things can happen in the presence of Heather. It's like, can one meditate and enjoy the sounds of a forest with Heather DeBrother? You will be relaxed. So
I don't think Heather should relax. No. I think Heather is so tightly wound. If she relaxes, literally all of her limbs are just going to fall off. Like she can't. She'll just fall apart. She'll just be a puddle on the ground. Like she's don't untie whatever's done in there. Okay. It's been tied so tight for so long. Who even knows how old she is? You know,
true.
She's just all. It's like this disdain of poor people has been powering her for so many years. She can't just let it go suddenly.
So over at the cooking class, they all wrap up. They finish up. They're going to go get ready for the catwalk. And then we come back to the forest. And their faces are all down in the ground. And Jenny's like, all right, everyone, stay connected to our senses through the sense of touch, the sense of smell. The sound of Shannon's lungs filling with mucus expelled. I have to put my face down.
No, sorry.
In the grass. What if they're ants? What do I do if they're ants? What if they crawl all over me the way that Alexis Bellino crawls all over me with her false accusations?
Oh my God. And this fucking Jenny chick leading the thing, sniffing the branches in the flesh. She's like, come on, guys, breathe it in. Breathe it in, guys. Shut up. You're charging money for this. This shit's free.
Yeah. This goes on for a long time. They're meditating, they're hitting a bowl, et cetera, et cetera. And they are wind up drinking a tea called Stress Ease. And Jenny finally leaves. And Katie's like, once Jenny's gone, Katie's like, goes up to Heather and goes, Heather, I really want to talk to you. All that stuff that came out about, you know, I feel like it was a little bit of a setup. We are going backwards, Katie. I'm telling you, we're going backwards. And unless we're rolling the footage back to Houghton, Cleveland, which I guest starred on, I am not interested.
This is my place. This is a place I want peace. Well, except for Shannon. Okay.
Katie's like, I just want Heather to let me speak and treat me like a human being. And right now, she's treating me as something disposable. She's treating you as something that she wants to shut the fuck up, Katie. Okay? You don't have to make it as you're so disposable. And this, you won't shut up. She doesn't want to listen. Sometimes people just don't want to listen. Okay? Katie. Luckily, with me, they can literally just turn me off. You know? And if you had a button right now or an unsubscribe, I'm sure that they would hit it. They would unfollow show right now. Okay? Just let the woman have her peace.
Katie acting like being treated like she's disposable is a new concept with Heather Dubrow. That's literally how she's treated every single castmate, both on this show and on Malibu Country. Okay? Like, unless you are her two friends who have the winery that appear every so often on the show, you're going to be disposed of by her. Even Richard Marx was in a basement.
Yeah. And I think that part of this that bugs me is that, first of all, you're making me stand up for Heather, which very rarely happens. Second, I think that you came into this knowing that Heather was like that and you already didn't like her because you've seen the show. And that's annoying because Heather's actually been somewhat decent to you this year. So you're coming after her for nothing. Like, if you just let Heather warm up, you'll have plenty of things to come at her with, but you're just coming at her with useless stuff.
That being said, Heather cracks me up. God, when Heather is so fucking condescending. She's like, we're going backwards, Katie. We're going backwards. We don't want to go backwards. I hope you're okay with that. And Katie's like, well, I guess I have to be. Good. You've realized. Here's my coat. And could you get my car, please? Thank you so much.
Oh, wait, before you drive off, let me take pictures of the car in case there's a scratch later. Not to accuse you of anything, but you're not the only one that works here.
We'll be sure to pick you up from the Holiday Inn before the event tonight. I'm staying at the same hotel as you guys. Really? You're a cast member? That's surprising. Mm. I thought you were a PA.
They're renting out mop closets now? Sweet. So, so next we go to the family equality event at Star Vineyards. So, you know, we see the people running the thing and Heather's walking around like, candles great, flowers great, poor people great. Oh, wait, could we move a poor person from over there to over here? Because there's two there and there's one here. And I would rather there be two and two. If they're not in sets, one looks sad and the people are concentrating on the wrong charity. Do you understand? Thank you.
So the women arrive and Heather explains that, you know, we know they're going to be walking in this fashion show, but now we get to find out what the fashion show is. And she goes, so I'm doing this collab with Susan Bender, who is a wealthier poor person, but still poor. And we were talking one day about how it's really hard to find the basics when you go into a store. You know, you walk in and you're like, where are the Fabergé eggs? Or where's the cashmere? Or which is the Bentley section? It's just sometimes so difficult.
But she's like, yeah, you know, it's so hard to find basics. Where's the best pair of black slacks? The perfect white shirt? And then we said, why don't we just make it? This is so fucking Heather to be like, let's get some Hanes t-shirt and then upmark them times five and resell them like she did during COVID with the masks and that shit. Or she's like, the whole country is out of masks. And Heather Dubrow's like, Heather and I, we have HD masks available now for $90 million per mask. Good luck.
You know, the other night I had a stress nightmare that I was crawling through Gina's tiny closet again, looking for something suitable for her to wear literally to any place and couldn't find it. And I thought, you know what? Let's make slacks. That's what we've done.
And it's so her too, that she's taking an LGBTQ+ event and turning it into basic fashion.
I know.
Why are you taking the one thing that we constantly have in this world? The gays have fashion. I mean, not me personally, but you know, in general, we have fashion and now you're turning it into your basic ass line that you didn't even create. Get the fuck out of here with that, Heather. Come on.
You know, sometimes I'm not totally sure that the gays have fashion. Again, and I also don't have fashion.
Well, stereotypically,
we do have fashion, but if you really look around, we may need to reassess that stereotype. So let's be honest. I mean, so they're doling out, they're basically giving out these looks to everyone. There's a sequin-y thing for Katie, whatever. Everyone gets a different look. And Heather's talking about how she recently walked a runway for the American Heart Association. And she goes, Emily's starting to feel self-conscious. She's like, maybe I shouldn't have had that huge biscuit. I mean, if you put Alexis in a dress and it's tiny, and then you give me a dress and it's big, I don't feel good anymore. Because they give Emily this coat, and the lady who gives it to her says, okay, this is oversized. Which I actually interpreted that not as like, this is oversized, so it fits you, as in like the style is that you wear this baggy, right? But it's still a trigger.
It's literally oversized. It's a huge oversized blazer, which is kind of in fashion, like the girls on Summer House wear.
Yeah, like my friend Jenny is very, very fashionable, and she just posted a photo yesterday, and like the sleeves are like dangling off of her hands. It's like her hands are missing, but it's because it's fashion. Yeah. I was like, that's so trendy, you know? I was like, that's oversized.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's so good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby, This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence, and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
Before we get too far into this, I just want to comment on one thing, because God forbid one line passes that I don't get to say something. But Heather going, she's saying that the first runway she ever did was for the Heart Health Foundation or whatever. So she's, it's just so Heather to be like, oh, look at me walking into runway. This is fashion. I can do this. I want my own fashion line. I have my own now. It's like, it's just so her to walk in and be like, I want this. It's mine, you know? Okay, so anyway, now Emily decides, well, I've already used my mother storyline and I've already used my boudoir storyline. Well, I guess I fat-shamed Shane enough. Now I'm going to use this for a storyline. So, look, I get it when you're big and you feel like an insecurity and stuff like
that. Yeah, no one's taking that
and
away.
And I also...
from her.
Right, I'm not going to take that away from her. But, you know... to be like, oh my God, Heather's treating me like she thinks I'm fat. Honey, Heather can look at the cast of Nightmare Before Christmas and she thinks they're all played by like Honey Boo Boo and her mother. You know what I mean? Heather thinks everyone's fat. Heather is a pinky.
The irony was, I thought Emily looked amazing in this outfit. I was like, this looks great. This is should totally be her style. Cause like she's normally wearing sort of these like typical Orange County kind of looks. I don't know how you even describe them. Like weird things are cut out and whatever. I was like, I thought this looked great on her. I don't know. But again, I don't have a sense of style or sense of fashion totally. I rely on other people. But I was like, she looks fucking great.
Well, but then the other thing was jeans, right? Because Heather told her, oh, this is your first look and you brought jeans, right? Okay, so you're going to get the big model jacket, which is so fucking awesome. Did she say that? That's in our notes. Okay, if she said that, okay, so looking great for Heather. Is like,
Heather said you're going to get the big model jacket.
Our notes say, so you get the big model jacket. Oh, which is so fucking awesome. She's like, do you like it? Is it good? And Emily's like, rrr. So she starts getting upset. And we start seeing her spiral. And Susan's like, it's supposed to be oversized. You know that. She's like, okay. She's like, is that okay? Is that cool? Is that cool? Every woman loves hearing the words oversized. Surely. Like, I know. But I also, on the other hand, I also know that Heather would know better than this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially because last season they got into a huge fight because Heather said that Emily's hair looked like Snuffleupagus. And honestly, Heather wasn't even being mean in that moment.
You're right. The Snuffleupagus fight. And also they do still have the awkwardness of Gina in between them. Now that I'm actually had a day to think about this and I'm watching it again, I'm wondering if there is something that Heather's doing here that's not cool, because I feel like any woman or gay would know better than to be like, oh, hi person who is like really struggling with their weight and just lost a lot of weight. You get the it's supposed to be oversized. You get that, right? Did you bring your own pants to wear? I mean, maybe she didn't.
Believe it or not, I don't think Heather was intentionally
in
this situation.
I didn't think so, but now that I'm thinking about, of course I can make anyone evil if I think about it too much. Okay, go ahead.
No, I think I totally get, you know, Emily's insecurities. Like we've all been insecure about our bodies in different ways, et cetera. And sometimes someone can say something and they think they're being really nice. And what they've actually done is like remind you of like a trouble area that you've been like ashamed of, you know, whatever. So like, I totally get this. I think it's totally relatable what Emily went through. But that being said, it's funny when you see it from an outsider of a situation where you're like, you're spiraling. But the truth is this was actually totally benign and you look fantastic, you know, but, you know, easier said than done.
Yeah. Yeah. So she, you know, so Emily tells us like, you know, this sucks. It's making me insecure because she told me to bring jeans, but everyone else has black pants. And like, why did I have to bring my own jeans? Because I don't have black pants to fit me. And Gina's like, but they make them to size on. Like, look at some of those girls. They're curvy too. You know, like you're not the only one who's curvy. Don't look at that girl. She's curvy like you. You're curvy. Like, well, why isn't Gina getting in trouble for saying curvy?
Yeah. A lot. Well, also what's funny is that I think Emily loves to kind of play the card of like, hey, I'm just a girl. Just put me in some jeans and give me a taco. I'm going to bring a tuna salad sandwich into the spa. Like, I'm just like your normal girl, no frills. And the moment that she has to be put into jeans, she's like, why do I have to be in jeans? So it kind of also exposes like the persona that you're putting on may be a little different than like what you really are.
Well, I think that's just part of weight when that's your issue, you know, because that's always been my issue. And so I think that there's just so many personalities that go along with that where you're like, oh, my God, look at me being funny about my eating. Ha ha, isn't it funny? And like kind of making a joke. And then it's the like, but look, now I'm like really serious about my health and I'm super serious about that. And I respect myself. And if I want to lose weight, then that's my, because, you know, then if you lose weight, then people have a problem with that, too, you know, and then you have to like come up with something for that. And then she did lose a bunch of weight. So now she's trying to get used to that. And being like, am I a traitor for losing weight? Now everybody thinks I'm on Ozempic, and maybe I'm not on Ozempic, and I'm just working out a lot. And now I'm at this fucking fashion event, and now they're still making me feel weird. And one of her things isn't even like they're making her feel fat. She's just like, did I even lose any weight? Yeah. Like, are they gaslighting me? Am I still too big? Like, I mean, it's just such a clusterfuck in the head. So I do feel for her in that regard, you know?
Totally. So then, Shannon,
like, now we'll go to, like, I need a break.
We're gonna go to commercial now. By the way, I have to say, Ronnie, you know what's been funny through all this is the sheer number of times your cameras put bubbles up on screen. I don't know what this gesture is that you do, but like the amount of bubbles and thumbs up that come out on your screen.
Really? Yeah. That's funny. So I'm doing something. I don't know.
Touch your
my screen's
ear.
So low, too. I'm cutting off my whole head. I don't know what I'm doing today. But.
Well, in the meantime, Shannon informs us that she's going to be leaving early because she has a Shannon and Vicky live show in Houston, and she's ready to leave the negativity. So people are arriving, and Heather addresses the crowd, and she's not addressing the crowd, but she says, I am a really lucky person. I found a life partner that is truly my partner. Of course, he's going to be at this event, and because it's about our family, and there's a camera there. So then Heather and Tamara are talking.
Look at it. Look at Terry pretending I'm standing in front of him and hugging me from behind in pantomime. Terry, that's a good one. That's going to be in People. That's going to be in People. People's here, right? Dave, you there? Okay. He's there.
So meanwhile, Heather and Tamara are talking at like a high top. And Tamara gets to do one of her favorite pastimes, which is rile Heather up. And I think this is one of Tamara's most hilarious traits, except for last season when she was totally in the wrong and totally obnoxious about it. But when she's sort of in a low stakes environment, I find it to be amusing. So, you know, Heather's talking about how, so I went on this Zen sound bath forest thing today, which was really nice. And then in front of all the other girls, some, I don't know, staffer or a park ranger, her name's Katie, she said she wanted to talk about Gina and all these things. And I didn't let her talk. I was like, I don't see any nice designer clothes on you or any diamonds. So I don't know why you're actually trying to open your mouth and say words to me right now.
Hey, listen here. Listen here, team. You're not giving a great. I see someone that was fed up and hung out to dry. Look at me in the eye. Let me shake your shoulders. Gina's fucking behind this. It's Gina. It was Gina all along. You're mad at the wrong poor.
It doesn't make any sense to me that Gina told Katie that she would just bring this up around the group of girls that don't even know her. I think she just thought that she had one on Heather and it backfired in her face, bitch.
Oh my God. So then she goes and turns Heather Ryder. That's all Tamara is doing this whole episode. Well, now she's Heather moved here. Light before first. It was.
I just want. I'm sorry. Yeah. I cut you off.
But Tamara knows how to get her. So let's watch her keep working it. So Tamara's like, well, yeah, none of this makes sense. It's Gina. Now, do I think that she fucked up? Sure. And she goes, yeah. And she goes,
but why are you letting her off the hook so easy? Listen, Gina told Katie, you're probably right about the pictures and the paparazzi, but I can't go there. You know why? Because Heather's so rich and she's got real estate connections, so I got to keep her close.
And we see a flashback that Katie told Tamara this, and Heather goes, oh, like the moment that, like, because Heather's like, whatever, no, fuck Katie. But the moment that Tamara says, oh yeah, Gina's just keeping you for your connections, Heather goes, oh, well, you guess what? She lost that big time. I mean, let's be honest. I was never going to refer any of my wealthy friends to Gina as their realtor. Wait, hold on.
This is so Heather, too, to act like she's so upset that somebody would be using her. All you do is wield your money and use it against people. That's what you're doing this whole time. Everyone's going to fall over themselves in about 5 minutes trying to kiss Heather's ass to keep in her good graces because she's rich.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them does it. But then when it becomes something that they're all admitting, like we're just being nice to you because of her money, she acts like she's so offended as if she's not lording it all over all of their heads just to keep her power. Get the fuck out of here, lady. Well,
this is totally fucked up.
And also, where are these connections that you've given her, because I don't think she's had any gigantic houses that you've given her through your connection. So unless you've actually given her something, you don't get to act so offended.
Gina's in.
God, now I'm standing up for Gina. What is happening with me today?
Gina's, I quit. No, I totally believe Gina is sticking around for the connections, or at least the free Nobu. It's like, oh, sorry, Gina. We had a Nobu dinner last night, but then, I don't know, we got tired. So here it is, $500 worth of sushi.
Oh my God. Yes, boo. Yes, boo.
So now Shannon and Emily are having drinks outside, and Emily's like, you want a margarita? She's like,
well, I haven't actually had tequila in quite a while. Being that I have such control over my drinking these days, it's been so long since I've had tequila. Wow, I think it must have been months and months and months.
I haven't had tequila in so long, I ordered a chip. Delicious.
Hello, actress, wealthy actress speaking. Everybody, thank you so much for being here in honor of family equality. This is all about inclusion, which is what I always say when I tell my staff to use the back door to enter the house. So all the pre-orders from this capsule collection that Susan and I are doing together, they all go back to family equality. So here are my two blah, 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 blah. Guess, family equality. Here are some slacks. Enjoy.
I love Heather giving a designer speech like she's in the Project Runway finale for t-shirts that she's about to send down the aisle. So now everybody walks down the aisle in these stupid fucking clothes. I can't with this. They're literally t-shirts and jeans and leather pants. So everyone has kind of it. And then here's the other thing about this. Emily, everyone comes out in like jeans or pants of some kind and a jacket. And then they take off the jacket and show off their t-shirt. Right. So everybody is given a jacket. And I think, wasn't Tamara wearing an oversized jacket too?
I don't remember, to be honest.
I'm not sure. Someone was wearing an oversized jacket. Okay. So anyway, they do this thing. And then Emily's like, I'm just trying to have a lot of energy and have fun and just move on. You know what? And then this is where Gina goes,
you know what? I powered through. I had the moment. I did it. I hit it. And now I'm happy to quit it.
I'm like, you just walked down through a restaurant wearing a blazer. Like, congratulations.
This is where Gina's confessional line. She's like, yes, nailed that one. I really got that.
Surely now I'm going to have a meme. Now I'm going to have a
big meme. Smile afterwards. Finally. Like, she was like,
that was like so funny.
That was so good.
So Gina and Heather sit at a table. And Gina's like, oh my God, I can't read the font. Did you bring your readers?
I do have them, but I don't really want to wear them. Listen, I need to talk to you tomorrow. I just can't take all the chatter anymore. It's not about my IMDb, so therefore it's not really that important. So we got to just fucking blow it out the box. I don't want to do it tonight. I got to focus on this. We'll talk tomorrow. And if this gives you a nightmare, then my work here is done. Thank you.
Now, please, like, make like a buca de pepo and leave. And Gina's like, okay. Like, she's just been dismissed, you know? So she just gets up and walks away.
She's like, oh,
Heather's such an asshole. Heather's such an asshole. It's like, we're going to talk. Not now. But I'd like you to go stew about it for the rest of the evening.
I want this.
And wonder what you've done to upset a rich person.
I want you to be stressed out for the next 18 hours of your life.
Consider this a voicemail from a creditor. Now, be gone. Be gone. I've got my readers out. Alfredo, read this to
me. Does anyone need some Nobu sushi? Sorry, Gina, it's not for you.
Oh my God, things are getting really bad.
Oh my God, I guess I'm in trouble with Heather again. God, Gina's in trouble. I guess I must be forever bent over waiting for my spanking from Heather.
So then, you know, Tamara's talking to Katie and she was like,
oh my God, that's so, I did have a conversation with Heather before the event and she's like, oh, it's not lust on me. I get it. I'm mad at her and she will never get any business from me ever. So guess what, bitch, you won.
Katie's like, oh my God.
Katie's like, oh no, Gina's going to hate me. I think that Gina was probably like, listen, I know you're pissed, but I'm not fucking with Heather. She knows everybody in town, and I'm trying to work here.
Exactly.
What do you want from me?
That's a pretty normal
thing to say. Who wouldn't say that? Yeah, it's a pretty normal thing. And now Katie twisted it to Tamara, and now Tamara is, of course, making it sound like...
Yeah, Tamara's the worst person to
tell. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Alexis and Johnny J are taking pictures in the step and repeat. And Heather's like, okay, everybody, wait, did we already do this?
It's my third speech. So
I'm giving another speech. Wow.
It's time for another speech. This is the one where I think I'm going to make Terry cry. Well, who knows? So she does another thing where she goes, you know, people tell me that our children are so lucky to have me and Terry as parents. Thank you. Thank you. Hold for applause. Okay. Unfortunately, my mom is not one of those people, but that's why we never see her anymore in the show. The truth is, we're the lucky ones, because without our kids, we would never be viewed as sympathetic.
Yeah, basically. And she's like, and we are aware that support afforded to our kids is not afforded to other kids, mostly because other kids can't afford it, if that makes any sense. So I've made it my personal mission as a mother to try as many help as many other families as I can, which is why I'm trying to turn a profit at this charity event.
Since thank you. We are very well aware that other children don't get to live as perfectly as my children do. Not every family has Richard Marx in the basement to sing to them. So that's why we are here. We're donating Richard Marx's to poor families. She goes, since my first child came out publicly, I feel like modeling is the best way to show people that we're normal. Both modeling behavior and also modeling and fashion shows in Sonoma.
It's important that my children know that even if they may not fit in, I will always fit in the smallest pair of pants, as I'm displaying right now.
It's important for my children to know that while there are bigots out there and homophobes, they can always come to Sonoma and walk in fashion shows.
So everyone's like, woo. And so then Alexis and Heather are hugging, telling each other they love each other so much. So then Jen and Gina are talking, and she's like, hey, hi, Gina. What's going on? How are you? It's so good to see you here. Thank you so much for being here.
You know what? You guys were all what happened? What happened with Katie?
And she's like, oh, yeah, she's not very happy with you. Well, she was trying to have a conversation with Heather Dubrow, and basically she's saying that you... You set her out. You set her
out. Oh, my God. It's
your fault. Everything's your fault.
Oh, my God. Okay, you know what? Let's just talk. This is fucking stupid. Okay. Oh, my God. Katie, do you want to talk?
And Katie's like, sure, but let's not do it tonight. Sorry, I learned that one from Heather Dubrow. I'm just going to make you wait for hours and hours.
I love that everyone's making Gina stew. It's
Gina,
so funny.
Gina has been, I love that Gina has been pushed back. Like, Gina's been postponed.
Yeah. So outside, Heather and Alexis are like, oh my God, should you try and talk to Shannon? Maybe you should talk to Shannon. I don't know. Maybe you should. And she's like, Emily told me to talk to Shannon. And then we see a clip of her saying, you should talk to Shannon. So of course, Emily running around doing Tamara's dirty work because now she's a producer plant with Tamara. It's like Tamara and Emily both running around trying to make storyline happen all day. So then Alexis is like, but this is about family, love, and equality, which makes it the perfect excuse to have a housewife. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this for all the children out there.
Well, whatever you do is fine. If she hasn't left for her flight yet, then by all means, you guys may have a fight. I've decided that this is the time to have a fight. So she's like, are you sure?
I don't like drama unless it's taking down Shannon Bedore. Because honestly, I've tried it for years and I've never really been successful. Good luck, Obi-Wan.
Hold on 1 second. Gina, you really fucked up. And I don't know if there's any coming back from this. I'll tell you about it tomorrow.
Hold on. I just want to leave Gina a voice message. Gina, I'm so disappointed. Please don't talk to me tonight.
If you ever come between me and something that you will find out about tomorrow, it will cost you a lot.
Wink on. You can find out, if you want to find out why I'm furious with you, you can now pre-order one of the HD basic tees. come back here with your receipt code.
Gina, it looks like you're not a subscriber yet to the HGTV channel on Mark Cuban's television network. To find out more for why I'm mad at you, please fill out this form and opt into emails and newsletters. Thank you.
So then Shannon and Gina are talking with Jen, and Shannon's like, oh, I just feel so badly. Heather's planned this beautiful trip, and there's been so much downpour on this, mostly downpour of sadness from Alexis Smellino. I came up with that one. She smells. Spread that one around, girls.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you say you feel so bad, because that's kind of my thing. And like, you and Alexis are like kind of saying the same thing, you know, just like you're saying the same thing as I'm saying right now. She's like, well, she's not willing to back down a single millimeter, not even a millimeter. That's the metric system, Gina. I know you're confused. It's a whole other system of measurements.
Well, you shouldn't get mad at inches just because they're born in a different years. Not a millennial. It's not a millennial inch. It's literally a different unit of measurement, Gina.
What are you guys talking about? Oh, we're talking about Alexis. Oh, well, I know you're going to get on a flight, Shannon. And for the sake of all of us, could you sit down with Alexis? That person's name is not going to come up.
Nope.
Will I sit down with Alexis?
No.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
It's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. You're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So outside, Katie is with Heather, Tamara, and Alexis. And Heather's like, Katie, I didn't let you vent today. And had I realized that it was truly to make Gina the bad guy, I would have let you speak a little bit. So it really wasn't a great moment for me. Oh, good. I'm so glad I get to vent. Tomorrow.
Let's do tomorrow. I've got a whole eye towel set up with poor people.
We have an agenda, and Alfredo's going to be taking minutes. It's going to be a great time.
Millimeters.
Gina, stop. Just stop
with
that.
Metric system does not work for time, Gina.
So they clink glasses and Tamara sees them and she's like, oh, I love this. And Heather's like, oh, calm down. So Heather's like, you know, I feel so bad that I wouldn't allow Katie an audience, but I've learned from Chapel Roan not to let the audience push you around.
Furthermore, tomorrow's confrontation, I will be HOTTOGO. That's how the kids are saying it, yes.
Do you remember when I was trying to figure out that TJ Maxx thing? It was hot or hot. Do you remember this? I was trying to figure it out last week.
Oh.
It's hot or hot, not culture or whatever. I'm sure you don't remember, but it just hit me. Had to let it out there. Sorry, the ADD comes in like a week late sometimes when I figure something out from the week before. But
I actually have something to say about that. I actually have something to say about that.
Okay.
You're going to have to wait till tomorrow, though. Sorry.
Your turn. I fell right in that trap.
Tomorrow.
We'll talk about that tomorrow, Ronnie. But just know, I'm very upset about that TJ Maxx comparison.
So Heather's like, I feel bad I won't allow Katie an audience, but I don't feel bad that she wanted an audience at an inappropriate time. But maybe we can work on that.
It's like asking Malibu Country to air at 10 p.m. on a Friday night. It's not the right time for the audience.
So she's watching Alexis, you know. It's like Alexis is saying, like, is the thumbs up to talk to Shannon or thumbs down to Emily's talk to, like, Shannon?
Thumbs down.
And Emily's giving her the thumbs down.
You're a salad in a taco shop.
So then Shannon's like, you know, I have had 2 days from hell and you guys can enjoy your time with her. And this trip took me over the edge. Okay. And now I need to go, because you know what won't take me over the edge? Performing at a venue in Houston with Vicky Gunvalson.
So she's saying bye to everybody, and then she goes over to Alexis and she goes,
well, I know I won't get a hug.
No, Alexis goes, I know I won't get a hug, but I'd like to say bye. And so she opens her arms for a hug, and Shannon just kind of looks at her. She's standing over her, and she goes,
Alexis, I heard you wanted to speak to me, but I need to let you know I'm not interested, okay? Wait, hold on.
This truly was kind of like a new version of the
I start charities, Megan.
You know, like when she stormed out of that, she sort of had that same energy. She was over Alexis. She was sort of pointing and be like, I am not interested. And so Alexis is like, well, I'm just trying to make peace with everyone else, Shannon. And Shannon's like, no. So Shannon just storms out. And Gina's like,
what was that?
Well, she said, I know you've asked to speak with me and I want to let you know I'm not interested. And I just want to make it civil.
And Tamara's like,
okay, well, whatever her decision is, it's her decision. It's her decision.
Which basically I think she's saying,
okay, well, the point is you tried and she shut you down and acted like a bitch. So now you look like a good guy and she looks like an asshole. Well done, me.
And she's drunk.
So next day.
She's probably drunk.
So the next day, everyone's leaving Sonoma, and Alexis is doing the wacky thing of trying to shut a suitcase. And then Jen and Ryan talk on FaceTime, and Gina sits with Emily and talk about Travis.
Conveniently, now that Gina's been given the heads up that Heather's mad at her, that has given Gina a chance to prepare her defense, which is, Travis is texting me and I'm just like, I'm sad. Like, everything will be really good and then he'll have like a swing of emotions and then like, oh, that's all getting out of my way. And like right now, I feel like the weight of the world on my shoulders and I'm like worrying about 7 other people's feelings plus 2 fucking dogs. Not Travis, but you know, other people's feelings. It's way too much. Just like a pressure cooker for me. So now she's already building in why she's not the bad guy here, or her way, her get out of jail free card, which is like, there's a lot going on in her life. Her family's falling apart.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's Gina. I mean, man, she's really desperate if she's bringing the dogs into it.
I'm worried about 7 people's feelings plus 2 dogs. I feel.
So then Katie's talking to Matt and she's like, I'm actually looking forward to the day Gina went around telling everybody I was a liar. And he's like, I thought Team Gina seemed like a no-brainer, but wow, Gina's playing games. Yeah, she's playing games with my fucking emotions. Wow, I love when you say fucking, babe. So hot when you're mad. I'm so fired up right now. You're so furious. I am so furious.
Well, we're going to go bike to a place called Russian River Vineyards, and I'll let you know when I get on the plane, if I make it. Good luck. So, meanwhile, Heather has, in her room, there is just like such a mess. It's just a disaster. And she has an assistant there, and she's like, okay, you clean this up. I'm going to Russian River. You're in charge. I'm going to call a car. And it's just funny because when this episode began, they said previously, and they showed the scene where Heather's like, I wrap everything in tissue paper. So I thought that was going to come back. Like, I thought like it was going to come out and they were going to make fun of her for it. And it never is relevant to this entire episode, but what I loved about it was in this moment, we see all the shit sprawled out on the floor. And that little clip in the previously is a reminder that like, we're not going to see it and it's not mentioned, but someone's going to have to fucking sit there on the floor and wrap every single thing in tissue paper for the next hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. I saw the funniest tweet that was like, we know the only time Heather actually wraps this is when she's showing one of her servants how to do it for her.
That's exactly right.
She's like, she only does it in training, you know? So then Alexis, basically now they're doing their activities. And Alexis is like, the last time I rode a bike, I mean, I go to spin class, but that's stationary. I ride other things now. Fun Lexi.
So yeah, the bike, they got on these bikes.
I'm sure John Jansen's a whole lot of exercise.
I know, right?
Okay, that guy really looks like a CrossFit class.
So they are biking along and they're biking, they're making jokes, and they arrive at Russian River Vineyards and they basically sit down at this table. Okay, and now we can finally get to their big confrontation. So it starts with pleasantries, and Yuna's like, guys, I have to say, I think this was a beautiful trip, and I'm like a little upset. I almost feel bad because I know whatever is happening between you, Katie, and Heather was circling back on it now, and like, you want to take the lead on this? Sure. Well, Gina, I heard you've been calling me a liar.
Yeah.
And then we see flashbacks of that. Well, I don't appreciate that because I'm not lying about it.
I was like, why are you involving me in this? I do not understand why. She goes, first of all, Gina, I didn't lie. But you're lying about this.
That doesn't matter.
It does matter because there's a timeline and it matters. And you're lying about this. And what you're doing, Katie, is not right. And I'm not okay with it because I brought you in to be my friend into this group. And you're bullshit. And it's not my bullshit. And I don't like it. You better stop it right now. If you got a problem with Heather and she got a problem with you, you guys better address it right now. Because we addressed this, Heather. I apologize to you, Heather.
Like, she's so mad and looking completely 100% guilty.
I know. And she's like yelling at Heather. She's like, I apologize to you. Why are you yelling at me? I'm the wealthy one here.
Well, I was very honest about it because I'm like really upset about this and I feel terrible about it and I was wrong and I've already apologized for it.
But the new information is that you apparently told Katie that the only reason you keep me close is because of my real estate connections.
What? I never said, what? You're just making shit up.
She never said that. I've never heard her say that ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, I've never heard it.
This girl is just making shit
and
up.
And so she's like, she's making shit up. You know, what is this girl talking about? And what real estate connections? You know,
I could use friends on my side right now because, like, Travis, I had to move away and then I had to make our bedrooms different sizes for kids. Like, I've been hanging curtains in the middle of rooms. It's been so hard.
Like, my entire relationship is on the brink right now because I kicked my boyfriend out of my house and now my boyfriend's not at my house anymore. You know how hard that is? It's, like, really lonely in that boot.
I'm going to lose everything.
Heather's just like, oh, for crying out loud. There are more tin cans in the world to shake.
Katie, you're a liar. You're lying right now. So prove it. Bring your receipts. Prove all your proof.
She's like, I can't prove because we had phone conversations.
You know what? I really work hard for my business. I don't need Heather to... I do not need Heather to make my way. I need Elizabeth Vargas, okay?
Come on. You're accusing me of using the wrong rich person.
Yeah, seriously.
And Katie's like, well, she's helping you with the Altmans. She's like, I'm not going to work for the fucking Altmans. They wouldn't take me.
So Emily's like, I just can't even imagine that coming out of her mouth. She doesn't say things like that. Like, Gina would literally say something like that. It's so, like, I can 100% hear Gina saying it.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, that she was saying it. Like, I mean, she's rich. I'm not fucking with her. She runs this town, you know? And so, let's see. She's just yelling and screaming and so pissed off about it. And Tamara's like,
Gina, honestly, you've been so defensive. You look guilty. Am I right?
Have some traitors. I know how to read people's eye faces now. Do you have asthma?
So Gina's like, well, I'm being passionate because it's important to me. I do believe Gina. When confronted, she did tell me everything. Things she didn't need to tell me. Things I wish she hadn't told me. Stuff about Travis's penis. Talk about gather signs and poofs that she found in a place called Marshall's. I don't know who Marshall is, but he sounds like he has terrible taste.
What's a poof? And which child is being called that? Because I will rescue them right away. And Tamara's, Gina's like, I can't handle my world so fucked up right now. And Tamara's like, oh, please, the world's not fucked up. What are you talking about?
No, it is.
It is.
Nah, not fucked up. I get to decide who's in pain in this world, okay? You're not
dead. At least you're not an alcoholic like Shannon. Can we talk about Shannon?
Gina's like, no, you have no fucking idea, okay?
You know, it's really hurting this situation. Alexis, cry about them, stupid.
So Heather's like, so Jen's like, Gina, I'll take the bait. What's wrong? We don't know if you don't talk to us about it. Do you want to deflect right now? You can deflect. Tell us. And Heather's like, well, what don't we know? What don't we know already? And Gina's like,
well, you're a fucker. And Tamara's like, why? She's like, because you've been harsh. Am I a bad person because I like Katie? She still likes you.
Yeah, and this is just how the show works. And Gina's such a beta because, and I hate using that word, but she really is such a BB. Because she is, it's like she's not going to get on Tamara. Tamara's the one who did all of this. As usual, Tamara started this whole fucking thing with Heather and got Heather all mad and blah, blah, blah. She's always stirring it. And Heather's being a fucking asshole too, doubting her and listening to some rando from a golf, you know, from the golf network. But the only one that she can be mad at is Katie because Katie has no power. Yeah. You know?
So Gina basically tells him, she's like, it's just been a sacrifice that we don't live together, but like I could do it. And I'm like freaking out because he's like not going to be able to work through his stuff. And then he's like not going to be able to stay in it. And like taking space from Travis was the right decision for like all of us. And like the divorce is like intense. So it's been hard for Travis. And I'm just feeling extremely guilty. And I'm just like trying to allow him that all his feelings. And I hope this doesn't break us.
And we see a clip of them a couple months ago. And she's like, how you feeling, Trav? And he's like,
oh. I feel overwhelmed. I just feel like there's just a lot to figure out.
Tell me about it. I'm going to put a load-bearing column where you're standing right now. So much construction.
Listen, no one is more load-bearing than me right now in my life. I'm bearing so much load.
I'm like literally building a new closet onto this kitchen. Like, you know how like some people have like a champagne room? I have a ragu room.
And so she's like, and the last thing I need is someone spreading bullshit lies about me, especially from a girl who I thought was my friend. And Katie's like, oh my God, Gina, you're going to make me cry. She's like, oh my God, it's because Travis is sad, so I'm sad, you know? It's like how it works, like where Travis has a good place to live, like I have a good place. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not true. No, but it still works for sad, though. It still works for sad.
So can we bury it?
Yeah, I can bury it. Like, the thing is that, like, I made up with you already, so, like, stop.
No, you stop and stop hitting me. I'm, like, weak.
You both stop. Okay, let's focus on the real villain here, Shannon. If Shannon weren't drunk, it wouldn't be a thing. Oh, my God, I lost the internet. Oh, my God, bitch.
My internet went out right at the end.
Hello?
Are you back? Oh, thank God.
Oh, my gosh. We froze. That was Shannon's fault. I was like, oh, my God. My Botox is finally working again.
I just feel like if Shannon weren't drinking, that wouldn't have happened.
StreamYard's an alcoholic, bitch.
So,
now that it looks like they're kind of making up, and Heather's like, anyway, thank you so much for being here. We're all wheels up at 4, which means we got to hit the road. Shannon is not here, so we can make hit the road jokes. Does anyone want to make a crumbling house comment? Anybody?
Wheels up at 4, which means that's when I get onto a plane and you guys carry some wheels back to Orange County. Here's a bus. Basically, it's funny because where this all wound up is that Heather forgets Gina. Because Gina basically was like, oh my God, like, you're so important. No, I would never do that. And Heather still does not like Katie because Heather feels like Katie's not owning up to anything, which is actually also true, by the way. So in the end, like, she just wanted Gina to be uncomfortable and to grovel, which she did. And Katie's still in the doghouse with Heather Dubrow.
Yeah, and I think kind of with the audience too, because like, you're really trying too hard and you're getting nothing. You know, you're going to have to, if you're going to come for Dubrow, you're going to have to come a little harder.
Yeah. I mean, I think Katie's saving grace to me is that like, there's bigger fish to fry in this show. So I'm not like, ugh, Katie, I'm just like, oh, this is, we need to move on from this storyline though. And I think this is the end of it.
Yeah. I'm definitely not a hater at this point, but I'm, I don't know. It's like watching somebody. It's like watching an American Idol audition that fails, but it just keeps going.
Like William Shin.
Like, guys, this is why we edit her out. You know what I mean? Move her out and bring someone else in, because I don't think this is working out.
Was his name William Shin?
But we'll see. His
name? The guy?
William Hung.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still made that work. But, you know, those were, that, again, that was like an epic failure that was great. It's like a Sanjaya or someone like that. He's like a great, you know, you still know that name. I don't think Katie's going to have that same thing. But who knows, you know, maybe she'll,
I mean, I think, the
I don't know, go to a boot camp or something and learn to do it better. I mean,
but
I
will say is this, what I do like about it, and this is my final point before we wrap up, what I do like is that the stupid Katie thing then has created has been a stressor on Heather and Gina's relationship. So I always like when one fight turns into something bigger and something more fundamental and profound, as profound as these things can be. So there was some upside. I enjoyed Heather making Gina squirm. That was very, very, very fun for me to watch.
Well, glad you had fun. Thanks. In general, I'm loving it. It's a fun season. And it was a fun week for us. So thank you so much, everybody, for being here. If you thought the bonus episode was Below Deck this week, well, guess what? That is now on the main feed. And we just did another bonus episode. This one was actually epic because it was Ben reading his shitty online reviews about things.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Forgot to mention this.
You need to go check it out. It's so fucking good. Also, go look at the Real Secret Lives of Mormon Wives recaps. Salt Lake City comes back next week. It's going to be super busy here coming up. And we sure love you guys. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber. Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock. Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's get feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.